Blog Talk Radio.
According to the scriptures.
And so we're going to be looking at some different things on this evening concerning that. I want to say shalom to everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, whether you're in North America or South America, whether you are in on the African continent or in the Middle East, in the Far East, in the European theater, or the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. I'm going to try to upload this lesson to the server. I got so many things open that my machine is slow on this evening, so bear with me for a hot second. It took me a minute to log in just to this site. I have so many browser windows open. Been working on diligently on the website for Yesharon Farms, and it's like I'm taking one step forward and three back every time I turn around. Something that, you know, got to learn how they actually are doing something with the template that I found that I want to use. So pray for me in that. That Yah gives me victory over it, because it has been a trying time with it. But, you know, having to go back and just learn things that you once knew, and then new things as well. So we are working on it and trying to get it done so that, as I said, we can be ready and taking subscriptions. Let me print this. Give me a hot second. So I want to say shalom to my sisters and to my brothers out there. I know that it's snowing up in Minnesota. I think you guys are getting some rain, or may have got even some snow in North Carolina. Probably rain, though.
We getting snow.
Is it snowing a lot?
No, just lightly snowing.
Just lightly snowing? Still snow, though.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah, amen. Well, I pray that it doesn't get heavier. I think that there was supposed to be, I know you guys are supposed to start getting more, at least according to the weather.
Well, it's going to be cold when I leave.
Did you leave Minnesota?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think that it's already cold now, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's going to get cold.
Oh, you mean cold.
It's 30 now, and it's going to be 17.
Yeah, that's cold.
Yeah, baby.
I don't even want to think about
dealing
with that. But it does get like that on the land. It can get that cold. So, but you guys will get colder than 17.
Right, yeah.
As soon as my machine catches up, then we'll go ahead.
It's going to be cold in bedrock.
Huh?
It's going to be cold in bedrock.
All right, Wilma. yeah, that was a good one. and I feel sorry for y'all having to propel y'all cars with y'all feet in the snow.
You know they're gonna freeze.
Yep. I haven't watched the Flintstones in so long.
Thank you, Brother Miles. I needed that.
I really did.
Amen. Amen. Laughter is good.
It is.
We all should do some laughing. I know I need to laugh more than I've been lately. Because everything's just been all serious. But, yeah, I love to laugh, too.
Right.
see here. All right, so there's the file coming up. Then I will load it up. And let's go ahead and do our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east, to our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, O Yah. Hallelujah. We give you praise and honor and glory on today. And we lift thee up, O Yah, for you are our Elohim. And you are worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. For there is none like unto you, Father. No, not one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. I just want to give you glory on this morning, or this evening, actually. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. All right. Our scripture for today. Let us go to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. And let's get verse 18. Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In all things that he might have the preeminence. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, let me upload this document. Come back to the site here. And hopefully this won't knock anybody off. And Kingdom and You. Okay, so this is not huge, so it shouldn't take that long. Okay. All right, so that should be uploaded now, and you should be able to see it on your screen. Amen.
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 All right, thank you. All right, so this is a new lesson, and this is really talking about the kingdom itself. And one of the things that, you know, once I get past this introduction, one of the first things I want to talk about is the Pharisees came and asked Messiah a question. When should the kingdom of God come, the kingdom of Elohim come? And this is one, I think this is one of the critical things that people don't realize today. The churches aren't really teaching it. The camps aren't teaching it. And if you understand this, then you'll know, you'll understand more clearly really how you have to be operating, okay, and how serious this is, because people are waiting for something to happen. And that's not where we should be at, okay. So through the new birth experience called being reborn again or born again, not to be confused with the future regeneration in the last days, because Messiah talks about the regeneration. And that's when he's going to raise everybody. That's the resurrection. Okay, but you have to be born again before then. You have to be born again spiritually before you go into the grave. And if you aren't, if you're not born again before you go into the grave, then it is too late for you, because you're not going to be born again when you come up out of that grave. And so I know certain camps that are teaching people that they are born again when they are resurrected. Okay, and that is just flat out false doctrine. If you're not filled with the Spirit of the Most High before you go into the grave, then it is too late for you. Okay? So, by one Spirit, let's see, where was that? By one Spirit baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. So let's go there. And I think what I'll do is I will, you guys have your own Bible program, so you can look it up yourself. I'm not going to share my screen. I have that. I'm going to read from this document. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Yeah.
No, I'm said I wouldn't put it up. I said you can look it up on your own.
Oh, okay.
So, you have, all of you have either your own Bibles or you have the program that I gave you. So, you can follow that way on this evening. I'm going to keep the document up, because when I share the Bible, then I can't share this document at the same time. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. That one Spirit is who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit being the Spirit of the Most High. So when he fills you with his Spirit, then you are born again. You're not born again when you get baptized. You have gone down, you have died and been buried when you are baptized. Now, some people, there's no certain order to this, because some people can be born again before they are baptized. But for the average person, that, you know, everyday people, the order usually is you get baptized and then you get filled by the Spirit. But then there are people who are filled by the Spirit and then they still must be baptized. No set order there. But you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And so it's when you are filled with the Spirit of the Most High has he begotten you. How? By his Spirit. So you are baptized into one body. Okay. What is in the mind here is the salvation of man. You should have already studied how we are saved in previous lessons. And I went over that in lessons 1, 2, and 3. Okay. So we're not going to redo that that lesson. But those lessons, but you should already understand that process. Say we become a part of Mashiach or Christ's body, and individual members of it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. Drop down to verse 27. Now you are the body of Mashiach or of Christ, and members in particular. So we are individual members, just like individual cells in a body. Okay, and each cell belongs to a certain organ. So you could be the heart. You could be the legs. You could be the eye. You could be the tongue. You could be the brain. You are a cell within the body. And so, you know, most people, what I'm finding is everybody wants to be the same thing. And he says, well, if everybody was an eye, where would the body be? If everybody was an ear, where would the body be? So we have, you know, and that's why different people congregate together, and they and different people need different things, and those that need the same things have a tendency to congregate together because they're part of that same organ. You might find yourself being a certain of a certain organ, but in the wrong part of the body. So you are a foot cell, but you want to be in the brain. Doesn't work. You feel out of place. And I'm just making that as an example. The body of HaMashiach is a New Testament concept referring to the community with HaMashiach as head. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And we read that earlier. We're going to read it again. I mean, Colossians chapter 1. The book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. Now, this word church, ecclesia, and community, they're all interchangeable. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is, in all things he might have preeminence. The Most High wants to be first in everything. That's why it says that he has preeminence. He is first in all things. The firstborn from the dead. He is the only true God. Everything that he's doing with us, he wants to be the first at. I am the first, and I am the what? Last. I am the beginning, and I am the end. Nothing comes before him, and he says after him there won't be anything. He will, when all this is all said and done with, if he brings everything to an end, it won't bring an end to him. So we have to understand that. We become a congregation of faithful witnesses, according to John chapter 15, verse 16. So let's go there. John chapter 15 and verse 16. Let me put on my glass because my screen is kind of blurry. The book of John, chapter 15 and verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So Messiah said, you don't choose him, he chooses you. And that is, we know that because he says, many are called, but few are chosen. Who's doing the calling and who's doing the choosing? He's doing the calling, he's doing the choosing. Okay. Acts chapter 4, verses 4 and in verse 32, the book of Acts chapter 4. Verses 4 and then 32. Acts chapter 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. Drop down to verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but that they had all things in common. So he calls us. He wants us to be of one mind, one heart, because we're all in the same body. And as long as we operate like we are, you know, individual cells, then really we're operating like we're cancer. Because cancer operates that way. Cancer doesn't perform the function of what it's supposed to do. It is aberrant. So it might grow like crazy and cause, let's say it's in the liver, cause the liver cells not to be able to filter out waste from the body or clean out the blood. When we are members in this body and we're not doing what we're supposed to do, then we are cancer cells. We're cancerous because we're in the same body. We're supposed to be of the same mind, of the same heart. So, and the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. We're supposed to be operating as one. And this is what he intends for his kingdom. And I'm going to show you why that's important today. Joined together by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. And I believe we already read that. So we're not going to go back and read that. The word translated community or church is ekklesia in the Greek, which is derived from the two Greek words, ek meaning out, and kalo meaning to call, so the called out ones. Therefore, it originally designed or designated the assembly of citizens called out from their houses to the gathering place for the purpose of discussion of public business. That's what this term first came out as in the Greek. You were called out of your house to come conduct business, okay? And then it was adopted for the church. The term then passed over into the New Testament documents and designated the assembling of those public worship. When Paul writes, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. So let's go get that. The book of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He has in mind the local / global community when he's saying this, because the Most High's kingdom is global, but it's also local. So you got one big, supposed to be one big body made up of many members, and then those members are localized wherever they are at, whether it's in the United States in a city, or whether it's in France in a city, or whether it's in Africa in a city, wherever we're at. Okay, so it's a local / global community. The community ideal goes beyond the local concept and can be also called universal, the whole body of the redeemed. This ideal is well illustrated by Yeshua's own words, upon this rock I will build my church. This is what it says in the scriptures. My community and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Now, I've used this word community because we understand it more so in the English better than the understanding of church. A community is supposed to be, well, I can't say that in the U.S. because when of days of old, when we were community, then everybody knew their neighbors. Everybody helped each other out. And the more that we were down, the more we counted on each other. And so it was community, and the community helped to raise the children. The Most High wants us, that's the really the situation that he wants us in, that we are consider ourselves to be what? One body, one community of people, that we have all things in common, that we are working together, that nobody has more than anybody else. Somebody lacks something, whoever has it, they provide it to the person that's lacking. If somebody has an abundance of something, they give it to somebody that's lacking. And when that person, when the shoe flips, or the situation turns around, whatever they have an abundance of, they share with everybody else too. That's community in the truest sense of the word and what the Most High wants. And the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 6 and verse 18. Chapter 16 and verse 18. To thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All right, let's continue. The mission of the community or of the church as extensions of Mashiach's work and ministry in the world is then to work and to worship. To work and to worship. The work of the community involves evangelism, outreach, education and care of its membership, addressing social problems, helping the aged, the widows, the orphans, sick and others who are in need. When we are in our strength, you know, we're supposed to help people who are weaker. We're supposed to help people who don't have. We're not supposed to get stuff to consume it upon our thrive as a community, as a church. Okay. Suffice it to say that the community's mission is to the lost souls is the utmost importance, but does not cancel out its other obligations. So we're supposed to be preaching this gospel to the lost, and then we're supposed to give them and be examples of how they're supposed to live. We can't be raising hell and then calling people into the kingdom, talk about, well, you need to come out of what you're in if we're doing the same thing. Can't be doing that. Okay. So we still have to take care of all the other business at the Most High, that our education and care of the membership, addressing the social problems, whatever they may be, helping the aged and the widows, the orphans, the sick, and any others who need help. But we are also to preach this gospel. We are to call people into salvation. That's not our only duty. And a lot of the times, and a lot of the churches, you know, it's the gospel. And then they may have a pantry here or there. But it's really designed so that you shouldn't need a food pantry. Things should just be provided for by the body, okay? Because everybody has all things in common or is supposed to. The other mission of the community is to fear Yah. Go there. The book of Revelation, chapter 14 and verse 7. And this is just laying the groundwork. And let's start in verse 6. Verses 6 and 7. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and every kindred, and every tongue, and every people. Well, I'm adding words, so let me not do that. To every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear Yah, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the foundations of the waters. So we're the body, the community, first thing, and even as things we know, is to fear the Most High. Walk in his ways, told Israel. First thing you need to do, Israel, is fear me. Then walk in my ways and then love me. The same thing for the body. Fear him and worship him. Yah is spirit and in spirit. So we got to worship him in truth and in what? Spirit and fear him. So this book of John chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4. And let's get verse 24. God, or Elohim, is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it is, we got that word must there, not should. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. Because you can believe a lie and be what? Damn. And so we have to always be searching out for truth in this word. The community should always want to operate in truth. And we have to be of one mind. Everybody can't have their own truth. Everybody can't have their own understanding. And that's where we want to be at. But really, it can't be that way and be one mind. Because then all of a sudden, when we don't agree, then we got problems. So the scripture is clear that we must be of one mind, one soul, one body. To provide for the organization and equipment of the members of the body of Mashiach, Yah gave the community apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors, synonymous with elders and bishops, and deacons. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Let's go there. We're just looking at different roles within the community, within the kingdom. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Mashiach. Why? Verse 13. I know it only says verse 11 there, but we're going to read down through 13. Till we come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Elohim, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Mashiach, of Christ. This is all about becoming like him. Unto a perfect man. And when it's saying man here, is not talking about gender, mankind. So male and female. And we got another colon there, so it's still explained. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Because, you know, you got so many people teaching so many different things, so many different doctrines out there. But when you are in truth, there's only one truth. There's a bunch of facts, and everybody has the facts. Everybody reads the same book, and they have the facts. But how is everybody going to have the facts, the same facts? And we got 30,000 different Christian denominations. Every being tossed around by every wind of doctrine. Well, I believe this. Well, I believe that. Well, my understanding is this. Well, my understanding is that. And you can't be of one mind doing that. Can't be of one mind. So the Most High gives us those that are teachers that are supposed to teach us in the Word. And then you are supposed to check it out. Confirm it. Verse 14 again. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. The sleight of men are men who have agendas, who can accept their faith takes them so far. But they desire to be teachers. They desire to be pastors. But they are not letting the Spirit of the Most High guide them. So they have an agenda. This is what I believe, and this is what I'm going to teach. And cunning craftiness, sound good, make it seem right. Great orators, speak elegantly or eloquently. And they can make something sound good. Can make it sound right, but it doesn't necessarily make it the truth. Whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speak the truth in love, may growing up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Another colon, so still continuing on. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. We're one body, and you know your veins supply blood, your veins and your arteries supply blood to every muscle, every cell in your body, even to all the joints. And so we're supposed to operate that way. We all are given something that we supply to the body. We just have to know where we fit in. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. When we work together with one mind, one heart, one spirit, it's for the edifying of ourselves, the group, the community, the one body, in love. Shouldn't be to get over. It shouldn't be to show out or try to impress. But it's because we were given something to supply to the body. Okay? So let's keep going. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. The book of Philippians chapter 1. And verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, grace be unto you and peace from Elohim our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, from Yeshua HaMashiach. I thank my Elohim upon every remembrance of you. And I think that's the wrong verse. Hold on. Yes, it was the right verse. Philippians. Okay. I might have to check that verse again. Let's go to Timothy, chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And let's get verse 8 and then 12. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8 and then 12. Moreover, let's start in verse 7. And that was talking about the bishops and the deacons. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, having the mystery of the faith in a pure, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, in spirit and in truth. Understanding that this word, just like a deacon is supposed to go on to be a bishop, if by ranking order. But the bishops are like the Aaronic priesthood and equivalent to the Aaronic priesthood, and the deacons would be the equivalent to the Levitical priesthood. But we're all one in Christ. But if we looked at a ranking order, that would be the rank. Verse 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Speaks for itself. The work of these officers must continue until we all attain to the unit of faith, the unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of Yah, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Mashiach. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. And I think we did already read that verse earlier. Maybe not. Let's go there. Ephesians 4. Yeah, we did read this. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Elohim, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Mashiach. All right. So this is the foundation. Now, the first question I'm going to have here is, when is the kingdom of Elohim coming? Because this is what the Pharisees and the Sadducees ask. And we need to pay attention to this because they were looking for something to come. And today, people are still looking for something to come. Okay? Let's go to Luke chapter 17. And this is on your screen now. I put the verses in here. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of Elohim should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of Elohim cometh not with observation. The kingdom of God does not come with observation. You don't see it come. Neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. It's over here or it's over there. For behold, the kingdom of Elohim is where? Within you. You are supposed to already be operating as though you are in the kingdom. You are a member of the kingdom. We're just waiting for what? Our king to return. But the mentality of the kingdom has to be in you. I'm a son of the Most High Elohim. You have to act accordingly. I'm a child of the Most High. You have to act accordingly and understand that you are in the kingdom. The kingdom is not what it's supposed to be right now. But we're waiting. People are waiting for Messiah to come back and straighten it out. That's not what he wants. He gave marching orders. Go and teach and baptize in his name. And live as one. We're supposed to already be doing these things, not waiting for him to come back for us to do them. Because the kingdom is within us. The problem is, it ain't within a whole lot of people. Everybody's not had the born-again experience. A lot of people are just trying to be good, trying to be good. But you need the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit. So where is the kingdom? When is it coming? It's already here. It's been here for 2,000 years. And what the Most High is telling us, just like he told Noah, just as it was in the days of Noah, he couldn't bring the flood until Noah finished what he was supposed to be doing. He's not going to return until we do what we're supposed to do. So we got to understand that we're supposed to be living like we are in the kingdom, because we are in the kingdom. So you are either a citizen of the kingdom and you are obeying the statutes, the laws, and the commandments of the kingdom, or you are not. Let me say that again. You are either obeying the statutes, the laws, the commandments, the ordinance, and the judgment of the kingdom, or you are not. Because if you're not obeying those things, then you are a lawbreaker, and you're an outlaw in the kingdom. Messiah himself says that the kingdom of Elohim is within you. Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we see him, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But we are already supposed to be children of the Most High, citizens of the kingdom, already operating as though we are in the kingdom, because it's supposed to be inside of us. So I pray we can understand that, and I pray we can get that, to understand that I can't operate like I've been operating, because I'm a child of the Most High, and the kingdom of the Most High is supposed to be within me, and I'm supposed to be becoming Christ-like, a child of the Most High. That means without sin. I pray we can get that, because people are waiting for Messiah to return. And they think that they can wait until he returns and wait for then until they're supposed to start living as though they are already in the kingdom of the Most High. That's how we're supposed to be living, like we are already in the kingdom, because we are. And this world is jacked up. But neither are we doing as a body what we're supposed to be doing. And we are fragmented all over the place. We're not operating like we got one mind. We're not operating like we got one soul, that we're one body. And that's why I said that counterfeit church. That if you do your thing, and then we'll work together when you come to church. We'll look out for you here and there. But the truth of the matter is, we're supposed to be operating as one organism. We're supposed to have the mind. If you've ever studied ants or bees, any type of organism that operates, different parts of the different individuals, and they got different jobs, but they operate as one. They operate as one. And this is how we're supposed to be operating. We're supposed to have that bee or that ant mentality, mindset. What is the goal? What is it that we're supposed to be doing? And everybody work toward that goal. And this is all of mankind. This is the whole Messiah's body that's supposed to be this way. So where is the kingdom? When is it coming? It's already here. It's within you, or it's supposed to be within you. Okay? So if it's within you, then you're supposed to be acting accordingly. You're supposed to be governing yourself accordingly. Upon whom is the community built? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 18. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and praise, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is not built upon Peter. Okay? That phrase in that verse is really an Aramaic phrase. And thou art Peter, a rock. Upon this rock, that rock was Father and Son. And it was a play on words, Ab and Ben. When you put them together in the Hebrew, they make the word rock. Upon this rock, Father and Son, shall I build my church. Upon that concept. It wasn't about Peter. But that's the way it looks. But when you study it out and you look at the words that Messiah used, Ab and Ben, you put them together, it actually makes the word rock or stone. Father and Son. Ephesians chapter 2, 20. And are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Yeshua HaMashiach himself being the chief cornerstone, meaning that if we looked at this as individual members, then Messiah is the first stone that's laid in the foundation. If the first stone that is laid is crooked, the whole foundation will be crooked. The rest of the house will be crooked. because the foundation is crooked. That's why he is the chief cornerstone, the one without sin, the straight one, so that everything else is lined up on him. That's what the chief cornerstone is used for, to line up the rest of the foundation. So if you line up that stone wrong, off a little bit, you'll throw the rest of the foundation off. That's what this parable means. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the first. Everything is lined up on him. He was without sin. He was perfect. So the apostles and the prophets make up the foundation, Messiah being the chief cornerstone that set them straight. And then we are supposed to be layered on top of them, and then layer upon layer, line upon line, precept upon precept, brick upon brick, cell upon cell. How else? So this, to answer that question, upon whom is the community built? It's built upon Mashiach, but it's really built upon Father, the concept of Father and Son. That's what we know. We also know that that Father and Son is the same being, the same entity. Because in the flesh, you know me as the Son. In the Spirit, you know me as the Father. But it's the same individual. Question number three. Any questions on questions number one or question number two before I move on?
No, we don't have any questions.
All right, amen. How else may we refer to the community or the church? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's get verse 27. Now you are the body of Mashiach and members in what particularly? So we can refer to the community or the church as who? The body of who? Mashiach. And he says he's going to take Jew and Gentile and make one new man. Did you find that in Ephesians chapter 2? How do we become members of the community?
He must have moved it.
Who moved it? I ain't touched nothing yet. I'm moving it now.
I said I didn't move it.
I didn't see it move.
Okay, good.
Mark chapter 16 and 16. How do we become members of the body or of the community? Mark 16 and 16. You know this one by heart. He that is baptized, he that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, fire. Anybody's house on fire?
What was the question?
I asked whose house is on fire?
Fire.
Yeah, I'm doing that to make a point. Okay. If you believe that your house is on fire, you'd have got up and done something, right?
Right.
Okay. He that believeth, it's not just enough to believe, because when you truly believe, you're going to do what?
Do something.
You're going to do something. You're going to take an action.
Right.
Okay. If you believe, then you will be baptized. Because if you don't believe, you won't get baptized. If you don't believe, you won't believe that who they say Yeshua is. So we act out of what we believe. If I said whose house is on fire, y'all are like, what are you talking about? But if I said your house is on fire, and I didn't say whose house, then if you believe what I was saying, then you would have got up and looked.
Yeah.
You would have made sure. Is he talking about my house? So the point is, we act out of what we what? Believe.
Believe, okay.
And if we don't believe it, we won't take action. Oh, he's just talking nonsense. But I did that to make a point. So people can believe, but if they truly believe, then they're going to do what the scriptures tell them to do. Did Messiah say that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved? Did he say you must be born of the water and of the Spirit?
Yes.
Okay, but if you just went by that one, if you just went by Mark 16 and 16, then you would say, I just need to believe. But then he gives us instructions other places as to what we need to do. And if we believe what is written, then we're going to do it.
Man.
But he that believeth not shall be damned, because if you don't believe, you're not going to do what he said to do. Because you don't believe it. If you don't believe that you should talk in tongues, you won't talk in tongues. You won't even be open. You won't even be open to the Most High actually filling you with His Spirit. It will be some imaginary thing in your mind. I ain't got to do that. I don't feel comfortable with that. Don't feel comfortable with it because you don't really believe. Okay. So he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So you got to believe in what? Be baptized. Now, is this baptism just in water? No. You got to also be baptized in the Spirit. By the Spirit of the Most High. So the baptism is a two-part thing. It's one baptism, but two parts, part A and part B, and it doesn't matter which one comes first. In the scriptures, in the lessons that I showed you, we had people who heard the word, they believed, and then they were what? Baptized? And then they got filled with the Holy Spirit. With the evidence of speaking in tongues. Then you had people who were in Acts chapter 10. They heard the word and were filled with the Spirit speaking in tongues first. Then they had to be baptized. So let's look at this so we understand. I don't want anybody to say that you got to do step A, B, and C in that order, because it doesn't work that way. The Most High can fill you with His Spirit, and you still got to be what? Water baptized.
Right.
So let's go to the book of Acts chapter 1, and I'm going off the lesson plan so that we can make sure we understand this. The book of Acts chapter 1. Chapter 2, I'm sorry. So we're going to start in verse 1. We're not going to read all of this. Messiah has already baptized his disciples, okay? And I think it's in John chapter 1 or 2. Might be 3. Let me look that up real quick. Because a lot of people misread this verse as well. John chapter 3. Go back to chapter 2. Let me find it this way. Give me a hot second. I know it's John, one of those two chapters, two or three. Let me get the exact verse. John chapter 4, verse 2. John chapter 4. So let's go to John chapter 4 real quick. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right, amen. When therefore Yah knew that the Pharisees had heard that Yeshua made and baptized more disciples than who? John.
John.
Though Yeshua himself baptized not, but his disciples. Now, people read that as his disciples were doing, that Jesus didn't baptize anyone, but his disciples did, okay? That's the way they interpret that. But that's not what that verse is saying. Who do you think that Messiah would have baptized?
His disciples.
Right. He would have baptized them before he baptized anyone else. So they were hearing that Jesus was baptizing more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. He baptized them, and then they started doing what?
Baptizing
everyone else. Okay, so he initiated his, and then they baptize everyone else. Okay, so that we have understanding. But they were already baptized, okay? That's what I want you to know. His disciples. Now let's go to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to get starting verse 1. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of the rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as like unto fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. So they had already been baptized. Now the day of Pentecost comes, and now they are what? Filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. The book of Acts chapter 8. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's get verses. Let's start in verse 13. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 13. Let's start in verse 12. Now, this is Philip, and I'm just showing you the order of things, okay? So that we can see that it's not a set order, all right? So we have Messiah. He baptized his apostles, his disciples. And then on the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, right? Mm-hmm. Now let's look at these people. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of Elohim and the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of Elohim, so they've heard the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive who?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. For sure.
Verse 16. For as yet he, the Holy Spirit, was fallen upon none of them. So they heard the word, they got baptized, but they did not get what? Filled with the Spirit. Okay. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus or in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Everybody see the order there?
Yeah.
So this is, I hate to say it this way, but this is about 98-99% of people in church. They heard the word, they got baptized, but they did not get filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Then they laid their hands on them, and they what?
Received the Holy Ghost.
Received the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so we have them hearing the word, just like the apostles did. We have them getting baptized, just like the apostles did, but they didn't receive the Holy Ghost right away. Then Peter and I think that's John with him, laid hands on them, then they received what? The Holy Ghost. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 10. Now let's drop down to verse 44, I believe. Now this is Peter. And Peter is being sent to the Gentiles, okay? And he's instructed to go to them. Don't doubt nothing, because it was against the law for him to go to the Gentiles. The Most High made a commandment that you're not supposed to mix with the Gentile nations, and he was observing it. And so, and it was so strong in him that the Most High had to tell him three times, I'm going to, what I make clean, don't you declare to be what? Unclean.
Unclean.
Okay. Now let's look at the order here. Let's start in verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of Elohim to be the judge of the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, to give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, what happened?
The Holy Ghost fell on them.
So they heard the word, and then they heard it, they believed, and they got what? Filled. Okay? That's not the same order with Peter, them, and with the ones in Samaria. They were all baptized before they received the Holy Spirit. These people haven't been baptized yet. They just heard the word. Now, let's see if that's just Brother Miles saying that. Verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, those were Peter and the ones that came with them from Joppa, of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues. That's how they knew. They didn't just say, they just didn't say, oh, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They saw a sign that told them, these people received the Holy Ghost just like we did. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Elohim. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid what?
Forbid the water.
That they should be baptized.
As they should not be baptized.
Right. So.
We can't receive the Holy Ghost.
Just as well as we. So here we got an order where they heard the word, they got filled with the Spirit first. And then they still had to be what?
Baptized.
Baptized. Now, did Peter just suggest they get baptized?
No.
Verse 48. Then he what? Commanded them. There's a difference in a request and a command. Command is an order. Hey, now y'all need to do what? Get baptized.
It's out now.
So we have the order. There is no order, okay? You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. It doesn't matter which one comes first.
Amen.
Okay, now let's go to Acts 19. Because this is for people who weren't baptized correctly the first time. This is for people who were taught wrong, who were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because we are given one name whereby we must be what?
Saved.
Saved. That in all things, in word or deed, do it in whose name?
Yeah.
Amen. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, starting in verse 1, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Now, whose disciples were these? He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, these disciples said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. So we know these are not Messiah's disciples. To somebody else's disciples. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto whose baptism?
John's baptism.
So these were John's disciples. And John had been telling them that there was one coming that was greater than him?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach. When they heard this, they were what?
Perfect.
Read it from the verse.
Wait a minute.
When they heard this, they were?
When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Yah.
Okay. So they were baptized, we'll just leave it like it is, but in the name of the Lord Jesus there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Were they baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit?
No.
No.
Okay. So they had already been baptized by John, though, right?
Right.
They had to be rebaptized. And they heard the word, they got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, what happened? Verse 6.
They received the Holy Ghost.
They received the Holy Ghost. So it's not a set order, okay? And if you were baptized wrong in the past, if you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, is Father a name?
No.
Is Son a name?
No.
Is Holy Spirit a name?
No.
These are all what?
Titles.
Titles. He says you must be baptized in the name of. So then they should be trying to find out what the name of the Father is, right?
Mm-hmm.
They should be trying to find out what the name of the Son is.
Amen.
Right.
They should be trying to find out, well, wait a minute. I need to find out what the name of the Holy Spirit is then.
Amen.
Okay, and we've come to find out that they are all the same entity. That's why you're only baptized in one name. And neither is there any other name whereby men, what, must be saved.
Nothing saved.
Because it's the same entity. Okay, let's keep going. I'll leave that alone. All right, so we understand that it doesn't matter what the order is, but you must do them. You must complete the process. So if you hear the word first, and they all heard the word first, but then some of them got baptized next and then received the Holy Spirit. We have a group that heard the word, but then they received the Holy Spirit first. And then they got baptized. Then we got a group that heard the word, got baptized, and didn't what? Didn't receive the Holy Spirit. Until later. Okay, so understand that. I just want us to understand that we don't come up and say, you got to do it A, B, C. Got to do it in that order, because we don't see it in that order in the scripture. But we do see all the steps, right? You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Whether you get born of the water first and then the Spirit, or the Spirit first and then the water, it doesn't matter. That's the point I'm trying to make. Okay. So Mark chapter 16 and 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. John chapter 3, verse 3. Let's go there. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Yeshua answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Elohim. Born of the water and of the Spirit. That is to be born again. One washes away your sin and you bury the old man, and then you are filled with the Spirit of the Most High, and that's when you are truly chosen and born again. You are begotten by the Most High, by His Spirit. Verse 5. Yeshua answered, verily, verily, I say, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Elohim. Got to have both. Can't have one. Can't have half of it. Can't do half of the process. That's why I tell people, you don't take somebody's word for it that you are saved. That's something you should what? Absolutely know.
No.
And you don't have somebody baptize you and then you come up out of the water and they say, oh, you filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you know?
Hmm.
What did you see? What did you hear? Because that speaking in tongues is for a sign, so that the believer knows. Was Peter a believer?
Yes, he was.
Do you think that Peter would have believed that the Most High filled the Gentiles with the Holy Spirit without a sign? He couldn't see nothing, and all of a sudden, how is he going to say that they have been filled with the Holy Spirit just like we were? But the only way he knew is because he saw or heard them speak in what? Tongues. That was the sign. For we heard them speak in tongues just as we did. So we know they had the same experience we did. And everybody listening to me, you need to have the same experience, you know. Don't just assume. Don't just take it for granted, because this is your, what, eternity. And so you want to know that the Most High has selected you. You should have the same experience they had. Just saying. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And we're going to get verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to do what?
Speak with other tongues.
Spirit gave them utterance. I be hearing people be speaking in tongues on demand. That's not how it works. Then you notice that's a mimicking spirit. Because who's supposed to give you utterance? The Holy Spirit. He tells you when to speak in tongues. He's having that conversation with you. He's the one supposed to be guiding you along. Let's drop down to verse 37. And let's get verses 37 and 38. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Now, Peter has stood up and he has told them about Messiah and how Israel killed their Messiah, their king. Okay, and they were pricked in their hearts. Means that in this case, this pricked is a equivalent to a Roman lance, that long spear that the Romans used to use. Mm-hmm. And what they would do is hit you in your chest with it, and it would bust your heart. So this is saying that their hearts were what? Busted?
Mm-hmm.
They were truly convicted. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This is the attitude, this is the condition that you have to come to Messiah in. You have to be so convicted that you have to know what you need to what? Do. How do I get out of this condition? How do I make this right? They were overly concerned. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, he's giving the process. Did the people in Samaria, when they heard the word and were baptized, the men and women, did they receive the Holy Ghost?
No, not right away.
Not right away. And that was for a reason. And I'm just telling us today that this is the condition of the vast majority of the church. They're like the people in Samaria. They hear the word, they get baptized, they come up out of the water, just wet. They have not received the Holy Spirit. But if you read this verse right here, you might think that the gift of the Holy Ghost is, what, automatic? It's not automatic. Matter of fact, the key to it is Miles, it's not good to get old. Let me look this up another way. We're going to get two verses here. Let me write this one down. I don't want to do that one first. Let me get the other one. I know that it's in Luke. I don't remember what chapter and verse. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Chapter 11 and verse 13. Because these two are critical. This is how you get filled with the Spirit of the Most High. Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give who?
The Holy Spirit to them that ask for it.
You got to ask him. Right. You got to ask for the Holy Spirit. That's number one. Now let's look at the second requirement for this. Go to Acts chapter 5. And let's get verse 32. Acts 5 and 32. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also the Holy Ghost, whom Elohim has given to them that what?
Obey him.
Two requirements. You got to obey him, and you got to ask. If you are still in defiance, if you're still disobedient, he's not going to give you the Holy Spirit. If you are walking in unbelief, he's not going to give you his Spirit. Those are the two key things. If you are in your mind and you wondering about what you're going to have to give up, if you do this, you're not going to receive the Holy Spirit. You have to want him. And then you have to what? Ask.
Obey. Ask and obey.
And you got to obey. Okay. Now, I can speak for this personally because I knew I did not have the Holy Spirit and I was in church. And I was a deacon in church. Opening and closing the church, cleaning the church, cutting the grass, doing all this stuff. Still didn't have the Holy Spirit. And I knew I didn't have the Holy Spirit because I knew every time that I went to tarry for the Holy Spirit, I kept thinking about what I was going to have to stop doing. And I kept wanting to hold on to what I was doing. And then I heard a voice say, I will not forever call you. And I knew that voice. Then I became where I wanted to be. I knew that it's either now or what? Never. And the most I was about to write me off. Okay. So I know that you have to do these things. You have to ask. You have to be obedient. You have to obey. Then he will choose you. If you think that this is something automatic or you don't have to do anything, you got to do to receive. You got to do what he says to do. Point blank. Okay. All right, so let's continue. This is how you get into the kingdom. If these things have not happened to you, you are not a citizen of the kingdom. You are an illegal alien. You came across the border and didn't have your paperwork. Just saying it so we can get it. Because it's just a fact. And again, this is at least 95% of the church in that situation. Even when I was in the church, I said that. A lot of people didn't like it. Oh, well. This is something that you don't want to play with. All right. Did we read 37 and 38 in Acts chapter 2? I think we did.
Yeah.
Okay. So any questions on how we become members of the community or of the kingdom?
No.
Okay. I'm just saying, I'm throwing it out there. If you have not experienced this, then I would not take your salvation for granted. Because you're talking about what? Your eternity. And if it's one thing that everybody should be sure of so that they can stay there is whether they have had these things that happen to them or not. If not, you need to be going before the Most High, seeking Him with your whole heart. You need to be finding out what must I do. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We'll leave that there. Does the Bible recognize the local community? The church? Go to Matthew chapter 18. The book of Matthew chapter 18. All right, now somebody touching my screen.
Not me.
Not me.
I don't have no computer.
Sorry,
I'm
in my mobile.
Sorry.
Keep your hands off the screen.
Okay, I will.
Glad I wasn't needed.
Matthew's 18 and 17. And the question is, does the Bible recognize the local community? I told you this was a local and a global thing. Matthew's 18 and 17. And if you shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto them as a heathen, man and a publican. Now, this is talking about us having issues with one another. And we take the issue. We are not supposed to take our issues to the world. We're supposed to take them where?
To
the church, actually. There's supposed to be a hierarchy. So let's go back up. Let's go back to verse 15. And you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, it's something between you and your brother, right?
Uh-huh.
And tell him his fault between thee and him alone. So you got a problem with me, you're supposed to come to me first.
Right.
And we're supposed to try to deal with it.
Right.
And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy what? Brother. But if he will not hear thee, I ain't trying to hear what you got to say. I knew you win.
Huh.
Then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be what established. Now take somebody with you to show that you try to straighten this out. And that the matter can be established. Now it's not just between you and him. It's between you and him and what? The witness, right?
The witness, right.
Okay. And if he shall neglect to hear them, the witnesses, tell it unto the who?
Church.
Bring it to the pastor. Bring it to whoever he puts into authority. If he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and as a publican. Let him be as a sinner, an outcast. Because that person won't bring themselves, they won't submit themselves to authority. Everybody understand that?
Man.
I don't care what you say. I don't care what none of y'all say. That's why can anybody tell me in Torah, if this was to happen in Torah and this person acted this way, what would happen to him?
He probably would get killed.
Ain't no problem to it.
Yeah, well, he just saw him.
It was a death sentence. If you had a ought with your brother under Torah, and you two took it to the Most High, would put an elder and a priest together, and they would be the court. Whatever they decided, you both had to what? Abide by it. And if one of you didn't want to abide by it, the one who didn't want to abide by the decision was killed. So now he says you should treat that person as a heathen and as a what? Publican. Don't have anything to do with them. That's your brother. But he's stiff-necked and hard-hearted. And he ain't trying to get along. He ain't trying to be peaceable. Matter of fact, being stubborn and what? Prideful.
Right.
And how does Most High feel about pride?
Don't like it.
He don't like it.
He hates it. He'll kill you for pride. One of the things that he says is six things I hate. The seventh is an abomination.
Abomination.
That's pride. Here we have the situation, if we're in a group, then if we got a problem, then we bring it to, first you bring it to the person you got the problem with. If they don't want to hear what you got to say, if y'all can't come to an understanding, then you go and get what, two witnesses? At least two. Come and confront them again with the same problem so that it might be established that this is a problem. And if you are in the right, then those witnesses should be telling them the what? Same thing?
Mm-hmm.
That you're saying? Now, if the witness turn around and say, you wrong, then you need to what? You need to repent and listen to the witness.
Right.
Okay? But if the witnesses say, we agree with you, and this person needs to repent, and they don't want to hear them, he says, now bring it to the church. Bring it to the body. Bring it to the elders. And if you won't hear them, then you to cut them off. Now, the law would have said to kill them. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to find that so that we can believe that. How was that word, if I can find it? Hold on a second. Because, see, people don't think that things were judged this way. Excuse you.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to find that another time. I need to remember the story. It's in the law. I know that it's in the law. It's somewhere in Leviticus, but I cannot think of how it's worded to find it. But I'll find it so that you can, so that everybody knows that what we're reading here, what the church is supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
and what would actually happen up under the law, how serious this was. This person was to be, when he says they were to be as a heathen, and as a publican to you, then you weren't supposed to associate with them. You were to put them out from you. Under the law, the same person that didn't accept the judgment would have been killed. This is how that's how much the Most High didn't want there to be any contention. So we got a problem. Wow. Maybe I got a spreadsheet. Maybe I can look it up in there. All right, we're going to continue. I'll find it, and I'll bring it back to you guys so that you can see that the same situation that we're reading about in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, would have cost you your life. Where are we at? What time is it? 7:47. We got a couple of minutes. Go to Acts chapter 5, verse 11. Acts chapter 5 and verse 11. And great fear came upon all the community, all of the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Now, what is happening in Acts chapter 5? This is where I think it's Ananias and Sapphira.
Yeah.
His wife?
Yes. Yeah.
They did what?
They lied to Peter about how much money they sold their goods for.
Right.
And helped them back for themselves.
Right. So let's go there. Acts chapter 5. Let's start in verse 1, and we'll stop right here. We'll pick it up let's see, well, it depends upon how long we stay on this question, on this verse. But how many more verses do I have in this question? We got a lot of verses to go, so we'll more likely stop right here today. Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. So he didn't just do it. They conspired, right?
Right.
She knew, hey, we're going to tell them we sold this for 500 rather than 1,000. Okay. And brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, this is when they were all coming together and supposed to be having what? All in common?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone sold their possession?
Yeah.
Let's go back to Acts chapter 4 so we can see how this is set up. Let's go to the start of verse 34. Acts 4 and 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses did what?
Brought the price of the thing that they were sold, that was sold.
Let's read the verse. Verse 34.
Neither were there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessing of land or houses sold them and brought the price of the thing that was sold.
And laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according to as he had need. So they all were selling their land and their houses, and everybody was sharing whatever that was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jose, or Jose, how to pronounce that, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Okay, so we're talking about selling possessions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And talk about bringing the money and laying it at the apostles' feet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's go to chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, just like this Levite did, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart? To lie to who?
The Holy Ghost.
He wasn't lying to Peter. Now, this is what people have to understand. Who was he talking to? Was Ananias talking
was
to Peter? He was talking to Peter.
Yeah.
Okay. But who are you supposed to be filled with?
The Holy Spirit.
That's right. So a lot of the times when you're dealing with somebody, you may not just be dealing with who? Them. You may be dealing with who else?
The Holy Spirit.
Right, God himself, Elohim himself. So he says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Because a lot of times when we are dealing with people in this regard, we don't think we're dealing with God. We think we're dealing with who?
With that person.
Just a man or a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are filled with the Spirit of the Most High, that's who you're dealing with. That's why I said we become what? Tabernacles?
Right.
And the Spirit of Elohim dwells in us?
Yeah.
And that's how he deals with people. So he said, you have lied to God. Now, did he say that or did Miles say that? Let's see.
No, that's what it says in the book.
Let's read verse 4. While it remained, while you had it, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not your own in your own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? The problem is, They didn't care that they kept the price. They lied about it. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto who?
Oh,
yeah.
Amen. But he was talking to Peter. But Peter's full of the Holy Spirit. And so we got to understand that. And we got to actually operate within that vein, because you might think you're just talking to Brother Miles or Sister Mary or Sister Lorraine or Sister Denise or Brother Gary or Sister LaGracia or Sister Rachel or whoever else is listening. But you may be dealing with who at the same time?
The Father.
That's right. That's why he says don't lie. You don't know who you're talking to. You think you're talking to this person and you really dealing with the Most High. What happened? Verse 5.
You're down.
And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. He died right there on the spot. Do you think people, if this was going on today, people would take it more serious?
Absolutely. Yeah.
If they knew, they saw somebody lie to somebody and they fell down dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would be dealing with the Most High with more fear, wouldn't they?
Yes, they would.
And great fear came on all of them that heard these words. So this is the local community. The Most High didn't put up with Ananias and Sapphira coming and lying about something they didn't need to lie about.
Right.
They wanted to deceive. Cost them their life. Go to Acts chapter 8. And it is 7:55. No, let's just stop here for tonight. Because I start running my mouth. So we will pick this up with question number 5. Does the Bible recognize the local community? We're seeing that all these interactions were with the local church, the local community, and brother and sister's interactions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is how the community is supposed to operate. Okay. And this is what he wants. This is what man is not doing today. And when we grow up in, we'll just call it this country, when we grow up in a capitalistic country, we are taught that we work and we gain for ourselves.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, when we come to Messiah, when we come to God, people want to come to God and stay where they're at. You want to come into his kingdom, then you have to abide by the laws and the rules of his kingdom.
Amen.
But we want to stay, you know, we're in America, so we want to stay operating like we, what, are Americans.
Right.
We go to work. We come home, we get our paycheck, we spend it on our family, we spend it on the things we want to spend it on. That's not what the Most High intended. When we come to him. And it's a hard thing for us, I know. All right, and we will pick this up next week right here. And we will continue in this lesson. And let me have Sister Lorraine to pray us out.
Thank you, Father, for this evening, and thank you for the study of your word. Thank you that we can continue the study so that we can grow, so that we can obey your word. Thank you, Father, for just a good evening for all of us. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen.
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 All right, so we will meet on Thursday for the business meeting. We are still reviewing the bylaws. We have gone down through Section 4, I believe.
Yes, we are in Section 4.
Okay, thank you. And we will pick it up there. We are trying to finish this up, so it will be a working meeting. Plan to be here in that meeting for at least 3 hours. so that we can try to move through as much of this as possible and finish it up by the deadline. So we got a lot of work ahead of us to do. I still appreciate our sister Lorraine going back through and reformatting and renumbering because it makes it easier for sure. And it was a lot of work. We still got a lot of work ahead of us. I am getting ready to go to the farmers market on Friday during the day, 10 to 2, and then Sunday, 10 to 2. Been ordering some other things. I think I'm going to actually try to grow sprouts as well, if not for myself, starting off for the health benefits of it.
What kind of sprouts? Bean sprouts?
I might try to grow broccoli.
Broccoli sprout?
Uh-huh. I'll send you the information I found out on broccoli sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
They are amazing. If everything they say about it is true, they are amazing. They attack cancer. They attack diabetes. They attack high blood pressure. But the sprouts can be dangerous. So, you know, you gotta keep everything really clean and stay on top of it because the same condition that you cause the seed to sprout in, to germinate, is the same conditions for other pathogens like mold and fungus and all that.
Oh, okay.
And so if you don't keep it, you know, keep the temperature down, and if you don't keep them washed, then you could be growing mold, or if you don't wash the seeds and soak them before and get all that stuff off, then you can be growing that stuff and then eating, you know, mold or fungus.
Okay, what you washing with?
I'm going to wash mine. I got some 35% alcohol. I mean, not 35% alcohol, 35% peroxide.
Okay.
I'm going to, you can actually use the peroxide that you get out of the store.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 7%. And put it in the water and soak them. I got to look again, but you soak them, I think it's about 4 hours.
Oh, okay.
To make sure that it gets, if, you know, if the seeds have come in contact with any manure or anything like that, that all of that is cleaned off, and you rinse them. You know, you rinse them a lot of times to make sure. Once you are satisfied that they are clean, then you put them in those mason jars, and you drain all the water off of them, and then they will, you know. But you put them in the dark.
Oh, okay.
And they'll sprout, and in 2 or 3 or 4 days, you'll have your sprouts. But every day, you got to go in and rinse them off.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I need to find out, there's supposed to be a way you're supposed to be able to test to make sure there's no, you know, mold or anything. I got to see how to do that. Because if I do it and then I try to sell it as a product, I think you got to be certified to do that. For microgreens, you don't have to be certified because, you're not dealing with the soil. You're cutting, you know, the plant above the soil.
Right.
But with sprouts, you're eating the actual roots and, you know, and everything.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, and you're eating the seed. So,
right.
If the seed could be contaminated, that kind of stuff. So you have to, you know, take the time to actually clean them real good and then wash them every day.
Really?
And then
yeah.
By the time it's like 2 or 3 days, then you are able to eat them.
Mm-hmm.
But the benefit, send the link, because I was going to put them, I'm going to put this stuff on the website. But I'll send you guys the link to the stuff that I found from the researchers for all these health benefits of the broccoli ones. All of them have a health benefit.
Right.
And they are, the microgreens are 9 to 90 times more nutritious than the full-grown plant.
Okay.
So you will get a lot more nutrition eating the younger plants than you would eating the older ones.
Gotcha.
So, like I said, with the microgreens, I'm not really worried, but it's with the crops because, you know, the government recognizes that it's a problem. And you got to be, you know, to sell it to the public, I think there's a certification you got to do. But I might be small enough where I don't have to do the cert. Just have to make sure that I print on there where they were grown at.
Mm-hmm.
So that if something happened, they can come back and say, oh, you're the one passing out these bad sprouts. That's what they do it for. But they said,
yeah.
You know, out of all the outbreaks of E. coli and all that stuff, salmonella, in the past 20 years, the vast majority of them have come from sprouts.
Hmm.
Where people aren't doing them, you know, being the way they're supposed to be with them.
Oh, okay.
So, but the energy, the nutrients that you get, and you can increase the nutrients by boiling them for like 10 minutes at least the broccoli. You can boil them but you got to be exact. You can't go over this temperature, 140 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Boil them for 10 minutes and then take them off. Or you bring the water up to, 140 degrees and then pour it over them so it don't get any hotter and then let it start, you know, cool off on its own. But it'll cause...
How would you start the broccoli sprouts from seeds?
Yeah, you got to start all of them, all sprouts from seeds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's all of them come from the seed. So and it's just a different, the sprouts are just a different phase in the plant life.
Right, because it's just the roots, right?
It's the root and it's the stem. You'll get a stem that comes out. You won't get you won't get the first leaves.
I got you.
Okay, and that is what you eat, you know, all of that. And the mineral or the chemical that is in the broccoli sprout starts with an S. It is what helps to fight all these different things. And you can make it more potent by boiling it. If you don't boil it, then it's still potent, but you can make it even more potent by boiling it. So I'm going to, you know, I ordered the kit today. Matter of fact, it should be at my door because it was same day delivery. So I have to go out there and check as soon as I get off of here. But yeah, I was going to, you know, see if I couldn't do this and with me keeping the grow room, the temperature more controlled now, then I should be able to do this, just find a dark place for them so that they don't get they come with a cover too so that you don't get light. But I still want to put them in a dark, cool place in the grow room and just make sure I stay on top of them for, you know, just every day, two or three times a day, go and wash them.
Right, yeah.
And then if I can get the process down, I just need to see what I can charge for them. Because they should sell real well.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I'm going to go out and tomorrow morning I'll get up and start harvesting the radish and the... mixed salad, the sunflowers, I think I over soaked them. So I had to start some more because one came up about 20%, the other one came up about 20%, and then they just died. I mean, no matter what I did to them, they just died out. So I don't know what was going on with that particular. You know, they could have been overseeded or it could have been soaked too long. But I started a whole nother new batch and I put less seed. And I soaked them. I found only supposed to soak them for like 4 hours. So I only soaked them 4 hours and then planted them. So I'll see what happens. Should be starting to come up, that new tray, new coming up, pushing those trays up. They should be doing it tomorrow. So these won't be, you know, the new, I probably won't take any sunflowers with me, even though I got some, but I won't try to sell those. I'll eat them myself. But the trays that I'm growing now, they will be for market, and hopefully I'll get a, you know, a lot out of them.
Right.
Where I can get some weight. And then trying to get this website has just been kicking my butt. But that's what we're working on. Oh, I got a, I don't know if I can send it to you guys, but I got a little recipe book.
Mm-hmm.
That has, you know, microgreen recipes, and it's, I'll take a picture of it so you guys can see it.
Okay.
Because if I send it to you, then you're going to have to fold it and do all that kind of stuff. But I got to print maybe, I think I'll print maybe 75 of those off and then fold them so and cut them so that they are, so I can give them out with whoever buys microgreens.
Oh, okay.
As something to give out with, you know, if they buy microgreens, then here's a recipe book.
Right, right.
Or give it to people that may be interested, but maybe need a little push. Here's some of the ways you can use them.
You're right.
So, yeah. So that's what's going on. So I need to do my studying for Friday night precept after we get off on Thursday. Mm. I usually will study during the day. But if I'm going to be out, then I need to make sure that I get it done before then.
All right.
So it just changed my schedule a little bit. But that being said, may the Most High bless you all. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. And not love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Have a blessed evening. Shalom, thanks.
Shalom, you also.
All right, and I think I can play the music. Where did I put it? And y'all be careful in the snow up there.
All right.
We will.
And theme song. There we go.
Just a man. You always said, teach me the way. way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you there's no need. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, family. Have a blessed evening.
Shalom, my sisters. Have a blessed evening.
Okay.
All right, y'all don't have too much fun over there.